It's a real privilege to be able to speak to you today. And I'm going to, because we had kind of like free reign, so I'm going to talk to you about something that has kind of been, you know, when you get one of those scriptures that just keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back and coming back over time. And this has been one for me that has just kept coming back. So I just want to share a few thoughts with you about it. So the scripture that we're going to look at today is Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. And it's a parable that you probably know really, really well. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to just summarize it very quickly, because I really want to tell you a bit about some of the symbols that are in this parable, and then we're going to read it, okay? So, actually, I feel like I'm just going to pray first. So, Father God, we just want to bless your name. We lift up holy hands, and we know that our hands are only holy because of you and because of what you did. So, Father God, we don't want to just have a chat, but we really want the Holy Spirit to come and bring transformation to our spirits and to our souls. So, Father God, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And we say, may Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this parable, sorry, all those people at home, I'm supposed to stand in front of the camera. So this parable is about the 10 virgins. And basically what happens in the parable is that they know that the bridegroom is coming. So they all go out to meet him. And half of them, so five of them, have lamps and extra oil in jars. And five of them have their lamps, but no extra oil. So the bridegroom is delayed, and so because he's delayed, they do what we often do when we are waiting for something that doesn't happen in the time that we think it will happen. They fell asleep. And it was actually all of them that fell asleep. But when the call came in the middle of the night that the bridegroom was on his way and about to arrive, they all woke up, but only to find that half of them were ready because they had oil and the other half didn't. So that's a kind of a summary of it. And I just want to do that because I want to just go through, before we read it, some of the symbols that are in that parable. And the reason I want to do that is because I feel that this parable, which is basically a story about real events to come. So it's a story, but it is about real events to come. So this parable, it's like, you know when you throw a stone in the water and you get those ripples that ripple out? This parable is actually a prophecy that Jesus gave. So when the stone, the prophecy, hits the water, it ripples out, and some of those ripples hit us as individual people. And I hope that that's what happens today, that something happens to you individually, not just because of what I'm saying, but because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you. And then the ripples go out a bit further, and I do believe it has something to say to us as a local church congregation. And then the ripples of the prophecy go out further still, and it is a prophecy for the universal church, the worldwide church of Jesus Christ as well. So let's do the symbols first of all. The first symbol that we want to talk about is the bridegroom. So in this story, the bridegroom is, do you know who the bridegroom is? It's Jesus, okay? And then we have the 10 virgins. Now, the 10 virgins are represent part of the church generally. So the 10 of them are basically the church. Within the group, you've got the wise virgins, And for the purposes of today, I'm going to say, because they are wise, and we know that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then I'm going to say that these are Christians who pursue the word and pursue the spirit, and they are deeply in love with Jesus. And then the foolish virgins, they are also Christians, but they're not really doing any of that. So you might say, and I'm going to be honest with you, there are times in my walk when this has been me, I'm kind of doing the bare minimum. That's the foolish virgins. And then we move on to the next slide, and that is the lamp. Now, when you read about this, lots of people say different things about what the lamp is. But for today, I'm going to use it to represent the word. And the reason I'm going to do that is because in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So, you know, it's obviously related to light and so on, but I'm going to use it as a representation of the word that is a lamp to our feet. And then the oil, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And then the last three that I want to just mention is the word asleep. So asleep is basically the spiritual condition of the church in general. And I don't want to be harsh about it, but I think I'm going to be real and say that I think that in general, across the nation, the church is asleep. You know, in years past, the church used to be the forerunner in terms of music and art and creativity and the word of God. And no, I'm not sure that's happening right now. In fact, I think that perhaps the church in general is quite compromising. And that might be to do with the fact that we've tried so hard to be relevant to our community. But you know what? I'm not sure we're supposed to be relevant. We're not supposed to be relevant. Because if you're relevant, then that means you're like the world. You're giving them what they want, what sort of tickles their taste buds. We're not supposed to be relevant. We're supposed to be radical. And that's a hard place to walk, isn't it? Radical. Just think about you in your workplace or in your family or wherever you are. And you're the way you are, your very being is radical for Jesus Christ. A bit uncomfortable, perhaps, at times. But my goodness, the power of the Spirit would fall, wouldn't it? So that's the asleep. And then the midnight cry. So there's a cry that wakes up and calls the church in the middle of the night, that Jesus is coming soon. That midnight cry, people think it's different things. Some people think it's the Holy Spirit and so on. Do you know what? Today I'm going to go with this. I think that it is the prophetic voice, the voice of the prophets, the voice of the people who are standing on the battlements, looking out. The watchmen, you know that scripture, it talks about the watchmen? They are the ones who are looking out to see not only what is the enemy doing and speaking to the church about that, but they're looking out to see what God is doing. So they give the cry. And then the coming of the bridegroom is the second coming of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Do you believe that? I'm going to confess something to you. When I was a new Christian, I believed that deeply. And it affected the way I lived. Because I'm sorry, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, I'm pretty certain that most of our lives, it would change today. And then over the years, I kind of lost sight of that. So you're doing stuff, but actually, why are we doing it? what is the Great Commission about? So yes, it's about preaching the gospel to the whole world. But what's the purpose of that? That they might be saved and that our King will come again. So if there's one thing that I'm hoping today will sort of impregnate you, change you from the inside out, is that knowledge, the truth that he's coming back. And he's going to take us with him into the clouds. And do you know what? All the things that we go through day to day in our lives, they will become as nothing because we're in the presence of the King. So those are the symbols. So now I'm just going to read it to you. So you, if you have a Bible, you might want to follow it. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here, the bridegroom, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So I'm hoping that in just the kind of beginning reading of that, that you're getting a sense of why this scripture has been, it's almost been wrestling me, you know, like wrestling with me over the last kind of couple of years, really. And it's been a wake-up call to me. It's done something to me. And I hope that the Holy Spirit is going to do something with you. So if we go to the beginning, this whole section, this whole parable starts with "at that time." And if you want to look into this a bit more deeply, you can look at the chapters preceding it, because this script, this prophecy, this scripture is really an end time prophecy. And are we not in the beginning of the end? I believe that we are. If you read the chapters previously and you read about all the different things that we will see as signs happening in the world, they're happening. They're happening. So if we are at the beginning of the end, this parable tells us what's going to happen. So we've got the 10 virgins, and five of them are foolish and five were wise. So what's the difference between these two virgins? How do you distinguish between them? Well, the scripture tells us that one set were prepared and one set were not. And to my mind, I feel that this parable is a parable about waiting. It's a parable about waiting for the bridegroom. And it's about how do we wait? Do we wait well? So how is it then that the foolish ones had no oil, no fuel, no kind of sense of the Holy Spirit, but the wise did? Well, I think that what that is telling us is that these two groups, they kind of look the same. So they probably dress the same, they probably use the same words, they probably dance the same, they probably like the same worship songs, they probably look the same. But there was a radical difference between them, and it was to do with the Holy Spirit. So I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, okay, they look the same on the outside, but I think that what happened with the foolish ones is that they are not pursuing their inheritance in the Holy Spirit. They're not pursuing it. I think what it's saying is that they're just kind of going day to day. Just day to day. And they're not different. They're not radical in the way that they approach their lives and the way that they approach the world. You see, the Holy Spirit, I think you could say that receiving the Holy Spirit is an event which happens when you say that you believe in Jesus and you believe that he died and rose again and you want to be part of his kingdom and one of the children of God. That's an event where the Holy Spirit will come and baptize you. And I think that probably happened with the foolish virgins. And the reason I think that is because they actually did have lamps. So somewhere along the line, these foolish virgins did have oil in their lamps. Because otherwise, why are you walking around with a lamp that has nothing in it? But I think what happened to them is life. Life happened. You know what I mean? So they're walking along and gradually, you know, maybe at the beginning when they first had the oil, they're like sprightly and moving along. And then life happens and they start to plod and they start to forget that our faith is not just words. Can I tell you, unless the Holy Spirit is involved, I'm pretty certain, if I'm wrong, you can come and slap me, pastors. But I don't think anybody got saved by reading the Bible. I don't think they did. I think they got saved by having an encounter with Jesus Christ that was given to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are people who read their Bible every day and then they slap their wife at night. There are people who read their Bible every day and then maybe they go with their handbag and do a little bit of shoplifting in the day. The Word is not alive without the power of the Spirit. So what I'm saying to you is that, yes, there's this event where you give yourself to Jesus and you say, yes, I want to be part of your kingdom. But then you have to walk it. You have to walk it. You have to push in to the Word and in a way where you're saying, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what it is that you're saying. You've got to push in. Push in a way that you have relationships with people. You can't be a lover of Christ and then go to school and cuss somebody in the playground. You can't be a lover of Christ and then go to work and slap your boss. Do you see what I mean? It's about how we walk. So I'm thinking that the wise virgins, they were, in a sense, they were being and they were also doing. So they were being in the Spirit, being in Christ. But that actually had a result. The doing bit was the way that they treated people, the way they loved people, the way they showed who Jesus was and is in the way that they engage with people. So I think those wise people, they're being in relationship with Jesus, but they're also doing, because don't we all, when we meet Jesus finally, want to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And you know, servants, they serve. They actually do stuff as well. So I'm going to be honest with you. When I was reading this, I read a book. And in the book, he talked about this really prominent Christian leader who asked God, "Am I a wise or a foolish virgin?" And when I read that first bit, I felt like I had a slap. I'm talking a lot about slapping today, aren't I? It's not really my nature, but, you know. But I did feel that way because I thought to myself, hang on a minute. You've read this parable a million times and you never once asked God where you sit in it. And I thought to myself, I think I just thought I was wise. There's a little bit of pride there. Quite a bit of pride, really. I didn't even think about it. Obviously, I'm wise. Look at me. So I asked God. And you know what? He was really gracious in his answer. He didn't directly tell me whether I was wise or foolish. But what he said to me was, "There are parts of you that are asleep." And I thought to myself, that requires a response. Something has to happen about that. So I'm pushing in with you. You know, I'm saying all of this stuff. I don't have it sorted. You know, I'm hoping that in the end, God will say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But I haven't really got it all sorted out yet. But that's the point of us talking today. Because actually, we can do this together. We can be accountable to each other. We can love each other and push each other to the new places in Jesus. Because our faith is not supposed to be boring. It's supposed to be an adventure. It's supposed to be, aren't we longing for the day when you pray for somebody who's sick and they get better? I've seen that happen. Instantly. I've spoken to a man, Terry and I have both spoken to a man who was dead for like 40 minutes and he had his medical records and everything and the doctors were like, they didn't know what happened because this man was dead and he had an encounter with Jesus and he woke up. You know, these things are true. And that's why we're longing and pushing for revival. We're pushing for the bridegroom to come. Because revival means that we wake up, isn't it? We wake up. So there's a couple of things that I wanted to say about sleep. So can we have the next slide, please? So I don't know whether this has ever happened to you. It's happened to me. It's happened to me on the tube where I woke up and found that my head was on the shoulder of the man next to me. I don't know him. It's happened to me when I was interviewing somebody with somebody else, thank the Lord. And it wasn't that they were boring. It wasn't. It was that I was tired. So I'm writing notes, and the process of having my eyes looking down at the paper caused them to close a little bit. And it was like, you know when you have a really long blink? It was like that. And I was just, please God, let this woman not know that I just fell asleep for a second. So there's three things about sleep. The first thing is, you don't actually know that you're asleep until you wake up. Is that not true? So I want you to sort of relate that spiritually. I didn't really know that there were parts of me in spiritually that were asleep. And actually, the Holy Spirit had to tell me, because otherwise I'd just carry on. We do things, that's the second thing, we do things in our sleep that we would, or in our dreams, that we wouldn't do when we were awake. Is that not true? Yeah. And the other thing, the third thing, is that we hate the sound of the alarm. Has anybody ever actually hit it? I know we use our phones now, don't we? But, you know, when I was looking for a picture about this, I saw all these pictures of people just waking up with a hammer to hit their alarm. We don't like the sound of the alarm. And so that brings me really to the midnight call. Do you remember that man that I said who asked, which of the virgins am I? And God, he said, am I a foolish virgin? God said, no. And he's thinking, yay. And then he says, am I a wise virgin? And God said, no. So then he's really confused. But you know, there is, along with the bridegroom, three characters, there's a fourth character in this story. And I believe it's the one who gives the midnight call. The ones who give the call in the middle of the night to wake the church up. And I feel that that is the prophetic voice. So God told this man, that's who you are. You're one of the ones who calls in the midnight hour to wake up the church. And to me, that's exciting, an exciting thing. Because with those wise and foolish virgins, even though the wise ones were living a life that was pleasing to God, they were fulfilling their inheritance, pursuing their inheritance in the Holy Spirit. They were glorifying Jesus in everything that they did, but it didn't stop them from falling asleep. It really didn't. When it says that the bridegroom was a long time coming, it doesn't mean he was late. It just means he was a long time coming. And I actually think that that is the grace of God, that he's giving us time. He's giving time is a gift that God gives to us to get ourselves together in the Spirit. And a lot of times we can't do it. I can't do it. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit is within me. And he can do it in me, because we can all do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you are feeling weak, that's a good place to be, because there's more room, less of you, and more room for Jesus to do whatever it is that he wants to do. You know, the ones who give the midnight call, I don't imagine that that is a glamorous position. Because as I said, when people are asleep, they don't want to hear the alarm. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just going to read the whole thing to you, because I feel like this is already happening in the church. So it's verse 1 to 5. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, who's like a young leader in the church. And he says to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Now, here's the thing. This bit here is why people don't want to hear the midnight call. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. I think that's kind of happening already, isn't it? That in the, even within the church in general, people are wanting to hear all of these different things. They don't want to hear the truth of the gospel because they've got itching ears. They want to hear things that make them feel good and make them feel excited. You can achieve all things. Yes, we can, but only in Christ and only according to his will. So I think the ones who give the midnight call, they're going to have to be brave. They're going to have to be those who are able to stand even when others turn their backs and say, I don't want to hear what you're saying. But the power of the Holy Spirit will wake us up. I'm hoping that nobody here is feeling condemned. That's what I'm hoping. Because if you are feeling condemned, then that's the enemy trying to get you. Because there is no condemnation in Christ. When God said to me, parts of you are asleep, do you know what? I didn't feel condemned by that. I was a bit shocked, but I didn't feel condemned. I felt grateful that he loved me so much that he could tell me that. I'm so grateful to God that he told me that. So if you're feeling a little bit of a tingle somewhere, that you're thinking to yourself, do you know what? I need to get myself together with the help of God, then rejoice in that. Because you know what? It's only a loving father who disciplines his children. If he didn't love you, he'd let you run wild. But he loves you so much that he wants you to be one of those who, when we eventually wake up, we're ready. Those wise virgins, they didn't wake up and stagger about. They woke up because they were ready. And that's what we want, isn't it? And that's what I'm praying for us as a church. Because do you know what? My feeling about us coming together, at first, I'm going to be honest with you. Sorry. I'm going to be honest that I wasn't sure if this was the right thing. But I trusted our leaders, so I kind of went with it. But now that we're together, I've got a feeling down in my liver. I've got a feeling and a quiver that the Holy Spirit is going to do something amazing with this church. To me, it feels like the Word and the Spirit coming together in power. I'm really excited about that. He's doing stuff right now to sort of get us into like ship shape. Yeah? But I had a kind of a picture of this church, and we're Micah at the Heartbeat Center, and the picture was of a heart pumping. And as it was pumping, which is this building really, as it was pumping, streams of living water started running out of the heart into the community. And it started pushing out and pushing out. And then an amazing thing happened, because the rivers of water became rivers of fire. And I just think that God wants to raise up people in this church to be fire starters. To be fire starters. So I share this scripture with you not to make you feel bad, because obviously, you know, if you feel like, blimey, I'm one of the ones who are asleep, it's okay. It's good to know that, because now God can do something. Because I think he wants us to get ready. It's not going to be like it used to be. You know, when you do evangelism and you get a card and you post it in people's doors and things like that, it's not going to be any way like it was, or the things that we're used to. We're going to be walking in paths that we've never walked before. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm believing God for miracles. Because you know what? Our word, our faith is not just words. You know that, don't you? It's power. It's power in the Holy Spirit. And even in my little prayer triplet, I have a little prayer trip with two other ladies here. We've begun to see kind of mini miracles happen in our little group. Somebody getting healed, like, straight away. Somebody else being, you know, delivered of some things that were holding her down. And God is really beginning to, like, just pull the curtain back a little bit and show us a little bit about what the spirit world is about. And what we need to be in order to make our stand. Because it is that, isn't it? It's having done all to stand. That's what he's training us for. He's training our arms. He's training our muscles. He's training our hearts to love. He's training our mouths to speak. So, I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be hard. I do think that. It's going to be hard. But we can do it if we can just pull together in unity and love. Preserve the unity of the Spirit. That's what we have to do. So I'm excited. And I really am so grateful to all of you, because it's a joy to be with you and to be part of you. I'm very grateful to that. I'm so grateful to all the people who've ever said things that have begun, that have mended my broken heart. And there are numbers of people who haven't even known that that's what you've done. But I know that you've done it, and I know that God is doing it because he's trying to teach me how to stand. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. I just want you to take a minute now to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It may be that he's saying that you're living a wise life because you fear the Lord and you're doing all that you can to extend his kingdom wherever you are. It may be that he's saying, you know what, you're asleep and it's time to wake up. He might be saying that to you. He might be saying, like he said to me, bits of you are awake, but some bits of you are fast asleep. So whatever he's saying to you, I just want you to engage with the Spirit right now. Just begin to speak to him. Begin to talk to him about who you are in him. Yeah. And I know there are a number of people watching at home. So will you do it with us? Because it doesn't matter about distance, physical distance. Our God is everywhere. So just begin to allow the Spirit to examine you, yourself and your heart. Lord Jesus, we love you. We say that we know that you're coming back. And you're coming back for your bride. And Father God, will you help us to be ready, to wait well, to be ready for when the bridegroom comes. But more immediately, Father God, help us to be ready for whatever it is that you are going to do with this small congregation, small seeds. But Father God, you can spread abroad into this community in wide and deep ways. So Father God, please come and do your work in us as your people. Father, let your Holy Spirit fall on us, Father God, and wake up those parts of us that need to be woken up. Push us forward into you. And Father God, we accept that it's a process. We accept that it's a day-to-day thing. But Holy Spirit, will you just begin to transform us into those who walk in radical ways for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Transform us, we pray. Cause us to look a bit more like Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you in the secret places of our hearts that nobody else knows about. We welcome you into those places that are a bit dark. And we say, Father God, shine your light because you love us. Because you love us. Because you're teaching us how to stand in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're building an army. Thank you that you're building an army. And you're going to strengthen our arm for war, but also strengthen our hearts for love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.